left off yesterday on Dav Zayin and Beis, toward the bottom of the page. We are up to a story of Hahu Gavru, which is three lines before the lines get wide. So says the Gemara, Hahu Gavru da Aktish Bishirai, that there was a man that was Maktish, a woman, with some silk garments. So Rabba Amar Lo Tzri Chishuma, Rav Yosef Amar Tzri Chishuma. So there's Machlokas, what to do. Rabba said that if you want to be Maktish, a woman, with silk garments, you don't need to evaluate the garments in advance so that you can know exactly how much they're worth before you use them as Kiddushin. Silk, you could bet, is worth a Shava Pruta. So since it's pretty safe that it's a Shava Pruta, it's not necessary to evaluate it in any way. But Rav Yosef says, no, Tzri Chishuma, it does require that you evaluate it in advance so that you know exactly what it's worth. Ida Amar Lo, so says the Gemara, Ida Amar Lo B'Kaldahu Kuli Amar Lo Pligi D'Lo Tzri Chishuma. If he told her in advance, look, I'm giving you these silk garments for whatever they're worth. I'm not telling you what they're worth. I'm not exactly sure what they're worth. It doesn't matter what they're worth. Whatever they're worth, they're silk, they're expensive. I'm giving them to you, and you should accept them as they are. So then everyone would agree that if she's willing to take it on those terms, that you don't need to further evaluate how much it's worth. Ida amla chamishin v'lo shavu chamishin haloshavu. And if he tells her, look, I'm giving you these silk garments, they're worth 50, whatever, they're worth $1,000, and then she evaluates it and she finds out that it's not worth $1,000, so then certainly everyone would agree in that case it doesn't work, because clearly they had stated explicitly that I'm being mekadesh you with something that has a certain amount of worth, and it didn't have that amount of worth. So mela wouldn't be a good kiddushin. So there wouldn't be any machlok as Rabbi and Rav Yosef in either of those cases. In either the case where clearly she's willing to accept anything, as long as it's worth anything, or the case where a specific price is stated and the item is not worth that amount of money. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas is in the middle case. Damar chamishin v'shavu chamishin, where he says it's worth X amount of money, and it actually is worth X amount of money. So Rabba Amar Lo Tzri Chishuma Da Shav Chamishin. Rabba says, why would you need to evaluate it in advance? At the end of the day, what he said was true. It was worth what he said it was worth. So that should be a valid Kiddushin. Rabbi Yosef Amar Tzri Chishuma. Rabbi Yosef says, no, it would have still needed to be evaluated in advance, given the itza lo bekiya b'shuma lo samcha daita, because at the time of the kiddushin, since the woman in general does not know the market values of silk or of whatever the item that you happen to be giving her is. So she doesn't have a smichas das, she's not comfortable at the very beginning of the Maisa Kiddushin, even though later on, you're right, it turns out that it was worth what you said it was worth, but she can't possibly be confident and comfortable at the time of the Maisa Kiddushin to know that, because she doesn't know enough about Shuma to know it, and therefore it needs to be evaluated in advance. Now that's the first lashon. That's the first understanding of the machlokas Rabbi and Rav Yosef. The Gemara now is going to suggest an alternative understanding of the machlokas Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Ikata amri b'kaldu unami pligi. Others say that the machlokas even covers a case where the guy says to his wife, the guy says to the woman, "I'm giving you this silk for whatever it's worth." And he doesn't say any set amount of price. So we said previously that in that case, everyone would agree it is a good kiddushin because it's at least worth a pruta. So says the Gemara now that no, maybe this will be machlokas as well. Rav Yosef Amar Shava Kesef Hareu Ki Kesef. Rav Yosef will say that anything that's Shava Kesef has the same status as Kesef, and therefore Ma Kesef Tekitz Af Shava Kesef Nami Dekayitz, that it's going to be necessary, just like Kesef has to be a known amount. When you give money, it has a known value. So too, when you give Shava Kesef, it simply needs to have a known value. If it doesn't have a known value, then it's not going to be a valid form of kiddushin with Shava Kesef. If you look at the Tosos on the bottom of the page, Rav Yosef Amar Tzri Chishuma, so Tosos points out, and Rashi says it as well, Kodem Kiddushin, that the Shuma that we're talking about is in advance of the Kiddushin, you need it to be evaluated. Kodem Kiddushin, Kamak, Tepirish Bekuntras, V'tema, he says, Dal Dil Kaman, Perek Beis, Tanya Gabi Yiskachi, Libishtar Chov, V'chamor M'shamin Asaniyar, M'yesh V'shav Prutim G'deshas. Later on, the Gemara is going to say that a guy gives his wife a shtar, and a guy gives a woman a shtar, and says, I want you to be M'kodesh to me with this shtar. So what do? We evaluate the paper right now, afterwards, and see if it's worth a Shavapruta or not. But umashba shamanas on the ar achara kiddushin. That gemara makes it sound like you evaluate the paper after the kiddushin was already done. The afkav of the mitchila shumas on the ar loy so yidua. Even at the time of the kiddushin, you still didn't know what it was worth. So that implies that the shuma is only done after the kiddushin, not before the kiddushin. So v'yesh lomar says tosos de lelishin damar bekal du kuliam lo pligi. If you say like the first lashon in our gemara, that if in the case of kolduhu where no monetary amount is stated, that everyone would agree that that's okay. So I read Amrla Kolduhu. So that case might be talking about a case of Kolduhu, where the guy didn't say that the shtar is worth X amount of money. He just said, take the shtar for whatever it's worth, and therefore it should work. Now, is so pashut that it should work, meaning kolduhu might work over here because we're talking about silk, and silk by definition is always worth a shava pruta. Maybe that's why there's no machlokas according to the Lishna Kama, that kolduhu would work, that if you don't specify any amount that it would be good enough, because she for sure smichas das that it's at least a pruta, right? She knows that it's worth well more than a pruta, but Tosfos is equating that to giving a piece of paper where you're going to actually need to evaluate to see if it's actually worth a pruta, and he's assuming that if you say kolduhu works by silk, that kolduhu would work over there as well. Perhaps you could take issue with that point. And Tosfos goes weiter, and he says, what about the second lashon over here? Ulelishon de bekolduhu nami pligi, and if you say that, they even have machlokas in the case of kolduhu, hachi ka'amar. You have to understand that gemara as follows. Vimratza lekad shabishtar, shaman esayar, esanyar mitchila im yesh v'sham v'pruta v'kadashas. What you need to say is that you need to evaluate, that you have to translate that gemara, that not that you're evaluating it after the Maisa Kedushin, that you evaluate in advance of the Maisa Kedushin. After the Maisa Kedushin is too late. Klomer m'shamu t'chila la'fuki m'adiyam m'kudashas al-fishayim b'shav p'ruta mitam shtar. It's just coming to tell me that it doesn't work midin shtar, that you need to evaluate it first. Now, the fact that we choose silk as an example is significant. The gemara over here said it was a maisa. It was a maisa shahayu. It was a hu gavra that was makdish b'shirai. So it makes it sound like silk is just a coincidence over here. But later on, it's a long sugya. Later on in Daf Tes, when the Gemara comes to Psak Halacha, the Gemara is going to say v'hilchas shirai lo tzarich shuma, that you don't need shuma by shirai. Now, if the Gemara wants to say that we paskin like Rabbah, just say we paskin like Rabbah. Why does the Gemara say v'hilchas shirai lo tzarich shuma, that it's dafka by shirai, by silk, that it doesn't require shuma? It makes it sound like there's something more to the silk than just the fact that it was a maisa shahaya that occurred with silk. So the Ran writes that no, silk is important to mention because silk is something that a woman we know wants. So we know, so we're pretty comfortable with the idea that she has a certain level of smichus das. You don't need shuma because she's comfortable that she wants it. By nature, a woman would never want to give the silk back. She would want to use it. However, Tosfos on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, if you look right where the Tosfos Riyah Zakin starts in the margin, Tosfos on Daf Tes Amud Aleph writes, V'omer Rabbeinu Tam da'asala ashmi'inan de'davka shirai hu delo tzrichi shuma. The chiddush is that it's only shirai that don't need shuma. Why? Lefi sheshumasun yadua ketzas. People generally have a good knowledge of how much silk is worth, and therefore it's unlikely that they'd make a major mistake. But something like a precious gem, like stones, something like that, pearls, to the naked eye, to the average person who's not an expert, can't tell the difference between a diamond that's worth $1,000 and a diamond that's worth $10,000, where you can make a huge mistake in judging its value. That does require shuma, because there you can't possibly have smichas das, because she has no clue how much it's worth. And that's why Tosfos says, that's why even though people may give engagement rings with diamonds on it, but the ring that's used for kiddushin, we're not supposed to use a ring in this korban halacha. We don't use a ring that has any sort of stone on it. Use a stam, plain metal ring that has no stone on it, because if you give a ring with a stone, it could be that she's not going to know how much it's worth, even in ballpark. You'll give a plain metal ring, so at least ballpark she'll know basically what it's worth, and therefore she'll have that level of smichus das. When I got married, I asked Rav Schechter that nowadays a lot of people, you know, if you can use a plain gold ring, so fine. So gold has a certain known value, but if you can use, I asked about platinum, right? That platinum to me looks, I can't tell the difference when looking at platinum between platinum and white gold and silver
steel.
and right, stainless steel for that matter, but silver at least. And to me, and there's a huge difference in price between them. So I said, does that pose any sort of problem? He said, no, you can't tell the difference. She could tell the difference, believe me. So it's nothing to worry about. Okay. Anyway, so that's the that's where that minhag or that halacha in fact comes from. So anyway, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rav Yosef mina aminala. So Rav Yosef says, I had said that you need a shuma. So where do I get the idea that you need shuma? D'tanya mikesef miknaso b'kesef u'nikna ve'ina nikna b'tvua v'kelim, that you can be acquired with. We said Rav Yosef said that shava kesef has to be something that's a set amount of money, that's a known amount of money, and that's why you would need a shuma even on the silk, even on the shava kesef. So Rav Yosef says, how do I know this? Because it says mikesef miknaso, which is a pasuk that relates to when a person sold an eved ivri to a non-Jew and they have to buy the eved back from the non-Jew. They're buying the eved back from the guy. So the pasuk uses the phrase mikesef miknaso, that he's paying for it. So mikesef u'niknaveinu nikn b'tvuo kelim. If you're buying him back, you can only buy him back using money, not using grains or kelim. So haytvuo kelim echidami. What's the case of the tvuo and kelim that you're not allowed to use? Ilem adelo makna b'hu klal. If you want to tell me that it really doesn't work as a kinyan, you're not able to buy him back with that. Yashiv gula soam rachman al rabu shava kesef ki kesef. We have an extra phrase in that pasuk that teaches us that you may use shava kesef to purchase the eved back. So don't tell me that only kesef works and shava kesef doesn't work. So what do we mean when we say that tevuah and kelim does not work? V'ide lesbu shava pruta. And if you're talking about tevuah and kelim that's worth less than a pruta, ma'ir tevuah v'kelim afil kesef nami. Well, then even if you use cash, if it's not worth a pruta, it's not going to work. Meaning not only does... If it's worth more than a pruta, shava kesef should work also. Tevuah and kelim should work also. If it's worth less than a pruta, then cash shouldn't work either. A lav must be the ispu shava pruta. We're dealing with something that's worth a shava pruta. V'kivin to lo kaitzi lo. Why doesn't it work with tevuah and kelim? Because it's not something that has a set value. The value is unknown. So tevuah and kelim theoretically could work, but only if you have it evaluated in advance. So says Rav Yosef, that's where I get my shita. V'idach, how's Rabbi going to respond to that? Hachi kamer, this is what he would say. No, the Torah is not telling me that tevuah u'kelim needs to be evaluated so that it could have a known kesef value, it could have a known monetary value. No, b'toras kesef u'nikna ve'nikna b'toras tevuah u'kelim. It means to tell me that the kinyan works like a kinyan kesef and not like the typical way tevuah and kelim are used in kinyanim. Umainin, who? What is the typical way tevuah and kelim are used in kinyanim? Chalipin. It's normally used as kinyan chalipin. So all it's trying to tell me is, don't use a kinyan chalipin. But enochinami, if you want to use shava kesef as your kesef, that's fine. You can give tevuah and kelim. Just don't use tevuah and kelim as chalipin. But according to Rav Nachman, the peros are not a valid item to use for a kinyan chalipin anyway, so tevuah shouldn't be considered something that is typically used for chalipin, because tevuah is peros. So then what would you say? Then what's the chiddush over here? Eliyolam delesbu shava pruta. So rather you have to go back to what we said before, that really we're dealing with something that's worth less than a shava pruta. Ah, the Ka'amrit, you said, well, if it's less than a Shavu Pruta, why is it Dafka Tvua and Kalim that we're picking on that shouldn't work? If it's less than a Shavu Pruta, we asked before, Ma'ir Tvua and Kalim, Afilu Kesef Nami. Then even if you can use Kesef, it shouldn't work. So it says, Mara Lomi Baye Ka'amar. That's exactly what we're saying. Lomi Baye Kesef, Tiyispe Shavu Pruta, Ini Lo Lo. You don't even need to say that Kesef less than a Shavu Pruta is worthless. I mean, Kesef less than a Shavu Pruta obviously is not going to affect any sort of kinyan. That's obvious because of the definition of a reasonable amount of kesef, of a davar chashuv in terms of kesef, is a shavar pruta. Aval tvua v'kelim eima min de mikra v'hanei asayu gomer mikni nafshe. But I might think that by tvua kelim, since it's so much easier to get hana'a from tvua kelim, you just use it. It's ready for use. You don't need to go and buy something and then get hana'a from it. You cut out the middle step. So I might have thought that even if its value is less than a shava kesef, since its hana'a is that much closer to you, I might think it's good enough, and you can, and the guy will be makne himself based on it. Come Ashvila, and therefore comes telling me that no, tevuah kelim also requires that it be shava kesef. So what's the hava mina that less than a shava pruto, that less than a shava pruto would work? So the avne miluim writes that less than a shava pruto, I might have a hava mina dafka in this context where we're talking about buying from a guy, buying back the evet from a guy. That less than a shava pruto would work because shava pruto is a din for Jews. The idea of a shava pruta being something of value and having being the minimum amount of money is only a din when dealing with Jews. I might have a havamina that when dealing with Goyim, there's no such din of shava pruta, and maybe that's the kavashma. And pashas is like the Gemara says that no, that the idea of tvua and kelim bedavka being working with less than a shava pruta is because it's mikra v'hana asayu, that it's so much easier to get hana'a from it, which is a concept that we have in Shas elsewhere. The Gemara Masech Ksubis, Dav Samach Zayin, tells the story of Mar Ukva, that Mar Ukva used to give tzedakah b'seser every week. He would go to an ani's doorstep, he would drop off some money, and he would run away so that he wouldn't be found who was giving it. So one time the ani wanted to know who was giving this money. So the Gemara tells the story that the ani said he's going to wait for the person to come in the middle of the night, whenever the guy comes, and he's going to listen by the door, and as soon as the guy drops the money, he's going to run after him to see who it is that's been giving him this money. So Marukva happened to have been walking with his wife that time. He dropped the money. The ani comes running after him. Marukva is running. He's running away from the ani, and he has nowhere to go except for into if he doesn't want to be caught, so to speak. He has nowhere to go except for into a live oven where there are coals all over the bottom of the oven. And he goes in there with his wife, and his feet are burning up. And his wife says, "Just put your feet on top of my feet, and they'll be cool because I'm okay. My feet are okay." And Marukva got very upset. "Wait a second. Why are your feet okay? I give tzedakah. How come your feet are okay? My feet aren't okay. I thought I was a bit tzaddik here." And she said, "No, it's because when I give to an ani comes to the door, what do? I bring them my fresh baked cookies and I give, it's mikravah and asayu. I give them something that they could use right away. When you give to an ani, you give them money. Money, what are they going to do with money? They still have to go to the store and they have to buy something in order to get any hana'a from the money." So you see that concept, mikravah and asayu, is a concept that's used elsewhere. That's what Mishnah Berurah writes by Shalach Manos, that a mana by definition, the Sharman Son of Balachim said that a mana by definition is something that's mikravah and asayu, that's something that you can use right away. Raw meat, probably not so good, because it's not mikravah and asayu. You need to do something still, even though it may have a great deal of value. There is this concept of mikravah and asayu meaning something. Over here, it's only Havamina, elsewhere it's a maskana as well. So anyway, I'm Rav Yosef Mina Aminila. So Rav Yosef says, okay, so where do I get my idea? Again, this is a second version of Rav Yosef saying, and Tosus writes this Mina Aminila is only going on the Lishna Kama that it's bringing a riot to. But anyway, but where do I get this idea that you don't need that you do need a shuma? So when you give silk, so the Tanya Egel Zel Pidyon Bani, we learn a brisa. A guy says this Egel, this calf should be for Pidyon Aben. Talus Zel Pidyon Bani, or he gives a talus and he says this talus should be for, he gives it to the Kohen. He says this should work for the Pidyon of my son. Lo Amar Klum. Either of those cases, it has no value whatsoever as in terms of Pidyon Aben. But if he says Egel Zebachamish Slaim Lepidyon Bani, he says this Egel is worth 5 Slaim, now take it for Pidyon Aben. Talazu Bechamish Slaim Lepidyon Bani, he says this Talaz is worth 5 Slaim, take it for Pidyon Aben. Then Bno Padui, then his son is, it's going to work as Pidyon Aben. So it's that Brisa, says Rav Yosef, that tips me off. How so? Hi Pidyon Echidami, what exactly happened by this Pidyon? If it's not worth 5 slaim, so I don't care if he's, so why should it work if he says it's worth 5 slaim? Bottom line is, it's not worth 5 slaim. He says, here, take this as a 5 slaim of Pidyon Aben. And the guy takes it, and it's worth 2 slaim. So why should that possibly work? It must be that, no, we're dealing with things that are worth 5 slaim. But still, it's only going to be valid for Pidyon Aben if you set the price, if it's a known price, if you state exactly what it's worth. If you don't state exactly what it's worth, and it's up in the air, and it could be worth 5, it could be worth 7, and the person coming doesn't know, so that's not going to be good enough. So you see that you need a davar kit, you need something that's a set amount. So says Gemara, that's not a raya at all. Lo, liola and delo shavi. Maybe in fact we're dealing with things that are not worth 5 slayim. If it's not worth 5 slayim, how could it possibly work? We asked before. We could go into kabil kohen nilave, and the case is that the kohen is mekabelit ki ilu it's worth 5 slayim. Ki hadrav kahana shakil sudra shakil sudra, the gears problem here, bepidyon abenichubi. Rav Kahana once took a sudra, a headscarf, something that he would wear, is like a hat, a turban, as a pidyon aben. Amalei ledidi chazi l'chamish shlamin. He explained, I'm allowed to take this turban for pidyon aben, even though it's not worth 5 slayim, because to me it's worth 5 slayim. And as long as it's worth 5 slayim to me, that's good enough. Now, Tosfos over here points out, Rav Kahana sounds like a Kohen's name, right? It's Rabbi Kohen, Rav Kahana, right? Says Tosfos, Mashmachad Rav Kahana Haya Kohen. Makes it sound like he was a Kohen. V'teimu, the Besof Elu Ovri Mashmach, the Lohaya Kohen, the Kamari, Lav the Nesivi Kanta, Lo Galoi. Right? Elsewhere, in Mesach Pesachim, Rav Kahana states explicitly that he married into a family of Kohanim, but that he himself was not a Kohen. So, how do we make sense of this? How could Rav Kahana be taking Pidyon HaBen money over here, makes it sound like he's a Kohen, and Gemara Masechet Pesachim says he married into Kohanim, but he himself wasn't a Kohen, so it tells us two answers. First answer is the simple one, Yesh Lomar Detrei Rav Kahana Havu. Rav Kahana wasn't the most unique name, there could have been two people with the same name. You have a lot of times two different Tanaim, two different Amoraim, have the same name, not so unusual. Inami Yesh Lomar, or Tosa says, maybe, the Bishvil Ishto Hayelokeach, the Ashkan Bergazroa, Rav Kahana Achal Bishvil Ishto. Then maybe, Enoch Inami, he married a Kohen. He didn't, he himself wasn't a Kohen. He took the Pidyon HaBen money on behalf of his wife, though. His wife was a Kohen. He wasn't a Kohen. He was taking the Pidyon HaBen money on behalf of his wife. So that's the Chiddush of Tosfos, that apparently, according to Tosfos, a Bas Kohen, even after she's married to Yisrael, is allowed to take Pidyon HaBen. The Pnei Yeshua writes that you look in all the Rishonim, lo matzasi chaver l'tosos b'zeh. You can't find another Shita in Rishonim that agrees with this. You find plenty that disagree b'ferish. The Ra'ah and the Rush and the Tur and the Rashba, they all say b'ferish not that way. And they have, based on the Gemara Maseches Kulin, tells us the Gemara Maseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Hey, says that wherever it says Arun Luvanov, it comes to be Mema'it Benosav, it comes to be Mema'it women from the parasha. And by Pidyon HaBen, it says Arun Luvanov, so by Pidyon HaBen, it's Pashut, that a woman cannot take Pidyon HaBen. Against this Tosos. Also, the difficulty with Tosos, besides for the fact that it's against all the other Rishonim, and what does he do with that Gemara regarding Arun Luvanov? Besides for that, the fact that it was worth 5 slayim to Rav Kahana seems to be significant over here. But if he's only taking it on behalf of his wife, shouldn't it need to be worth 5 slayim to his wife? He says, Ladidi, it's worth 5 slayim. But it sounds like if it wasn't worth 5 slayim to him, wouldn't it be good? But shouldn't, if it's for his wife, it should have to be worth 5 slayim to his wife, not to him. And we said not only that, but this only works for someone like Rav Kahana, who is a Gavar Rabba and therefore needs a Sudar on his head. Meaning because he's a Gavar Rabba, he requires some type of head covering, some type of major head covering. But regular people wouldn't need a Sudar on their head. Sometimes a Gavar Rabba is willing to pay a little extra money for a sudar because a gavur rabbi can't walk out without a sudar on his head. It's like a big talmid chacham wants to make sure that he walks around, carries himself in a certain way, and it's therefore more important to him than its actual value would actually be. If you look at Tosfos, Avukuli Amalovim, Tomer my time Lo Mahani, Mi Garim Matanam Nasta Aksid Amrin Al Dishma Matanam, Tosfos, come on, just because for a regular guy, the fact that it's worth a little bit less for a regular guy should be any worse
then a matan al manas lahachzir. Meaning, if you say that a matan al manas lahachzir would work, right? That's called matana according to the shita that it's shema matana. So I don't even get to keep it at all. I give it right back to you, and that's called having value. That's called that I'm taking something of value. But when I take something that's worth a hair less than 5 slime to me, and a little more than 5 slime to somebody else, to a talmud chacham, so that's called that I'm taking something that doesn't have value. That's I get to keep it at least. It should for sure have at least as much value as a matan al manas lahachzir. So Tos says, no, don't confuse the issue. It may sound as, you know, it may sound that misvara matan al manas lahachzir, since I have to give it right back, I'm not taking something of value. But if you hold matan al manas lahachzir, shema matana, then you are getting a matana of something that objectively has this value. I may have to give it right back because it's al manas lahachzir, but the item, the chefetz in question, the chefetz in question, has this value, as opposed to over here, where if I'm not an Adam Chashuv, the Cheftza itself does not have the value, so I'm not receiving a Cheftza of the proper value. So it's also, don't get confused between the two issues. What's also interesting over here is the idea that it was Dafka Talmud Chacham who would have a Sudar al Rosho. That's a big discussion. It's a big discussion in the Rishonim already about, and really it's a sugya later on in Daf Chav Tes. The Gemara later on is going to say that Mishtabech le Rav Chista, Rav Hun Bar Amnuna, Adam Gadol, who the Rav Chista would praise a certain guy that he was an Adam Gadol, and then when they brought him in front of, I forgot who it was, one of the other Amoraim, finally got to meet him, he wouldn't talk to him. He says, well, why aren't you talking to him? He says, because he's not wearing a sudar al rosha. Why isn't the guy wearing a sudar on his head? So you're Talmud Chacham. If you're really an Adam Gadol, you should wear a sudar al rosha. So he says, no, I'm not married. That's why I'm not wearing a sudar al roshi. So again, you see this idea that only Dafka Adam Chashev wears this sudar. The Gemara in Shabbos Tav Kuf Yuches, when gives a list of Amorayim who try to explain what they do that's so special, that's beyond what other people do. So one of them says, Tesi li dilotiski dalet amos below sudar al rosha. Something like that. That you should give me some credit because I don't go 4 amos without a sudar on my head. So that's as if that's a midas chasidus, as if that's something that's more than what's expected. So that's what the Beis Yosef discusses. That perhaps there's two dinim over here. We're not talking about a yarmulke when we talk about a sudar. We're talking about some extra beged that covers the head. But Moshe Feinstein, in the very first tshuva in Igros Moshe, discusses how large a yarmulke is supposed to be. How big a yarmulke has to be. So I believe his maskana is that it does not need to cover kol harosh. That's the midas chasidus that we have in all these gemaras. That an adam chashuv perhaps should have something that covers. You ever see like the kind of yarmulke of Moshe wore where it covers mamish his entire head? He says it would be it's sufficient even if it doesn't cover kol harosh. And I believe he writes that it doesn't even need to cover rov harosh. That it only needs to be that if someone were to look at you, they would say, oh, that person's wearing something on his head. If a person were to look at you and they would not say, that person's covering his head, then that would be an invalid covering of the head. It just needs to be something that if they were to look at you, they would say that person is wearing something on his head. Anyway, it's a big discussion. It's against Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Moshe spends that first tshuva trying to reject the sheet of Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger thinks, paskins, that a yarmulke does have to be something that covers Kol Harosh, or at least Rov Harosh. But, okay, anyway, that's a sugya for later in the Masechta. Just apropos to Chol HaMoed, I just saw in the Shar Mitzvot V'Halacha on this idea of the Didi Chazi L'Chamesh Shloim, quotes from the Sefer HaPardes, that has a suffix, if someone gives a Kohen on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, an Esrog that's worth 5 Slaim on the Esrog market for Pidyon HaBen, but it's as a fruit, it's worth less than 5 Slaim. But as an esrog, it's worth 5 Slaim. So he's mesupak. Does that count as pidyon ben? Can the guy say, well, lididi, it's shave chamesh slaim, because I want to be mehadid the mitzvah and for the hidden mitzvah, so maybe that has value. Or maybe no, the lididi has to be something that's going to last beyond just today. It's not just lididi hayom, it's worth 5 Slaim. It should be lididi that it's going to be worth 5 Slaim, that it would be worth 5 Slaim at any other time. The Mishnah Lamelech has similar suffix by being Mekadesh Nisha. If you're Mekadesh Nisha with an esrog that has a fruit, is worth less than a Shavu Pruta, But again, on Sukkot is worth a pruta, because on the Esrog market it's worth a pruta. So maybe the kiddushin, so he has a suffix whether the kiddushin works or not, whether that's called shava pruta or not. Okay. Anyway, in that case, it doesn't have to be l'didi. It doesn't have to be for the woman. The woman is not chayiv in Esrog. The Mishnah Mel suffix is that the market value of an Esrog, of such a beautiful Esrog at that time, is more than shava pruta, because people are buying Esrogim for that amount of money. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rav Lazar, Skachi li b'man of anaslan ladinar, harezim mukadeshes v'yashan. The guy says to a woman, I want you to be mukadeshes to me with a mana, and instead of giving her a whole money, he only gives her a dinar, so that she's mukadeshes, and he's got to pay the rest of the money. My time, kivan da amar la mana v'yav la dinar, command amar la manastami. Since he said he was going to give her a mana, and he only gave her a dinar, it's as if he gave it to her on condition. It's as if he said, al manas, that I'm going to give you this dinar, and then I'll fill in the rest later on. I'll deny that I fill in the rest later on. Anytime you say almanas, it's as if you said me'achshav. So at the time that he gave the dinar, that's when the kiddushin happened. Even though he does have to fill in the rest of the money later, that's just a fulfillment of the tanai. But the time of kiddushin is when he gave that original small amount of money. Frak the Gemara, is that really so? Meisvei hiskachi li b'manav ayamonav aholich. Let's say a guy says to a woman, I want you to be mukadesh to me with a dinar, and then he with a mana rather, and then he starts counting out the dinarim. 1, 2, 3. Up until the very last one, they can still be chozer. The Maisa Kiddushin did not yet happen. You're not going to need a get. You can just backtrack on the whole Kenyan. So don't you see that it's not just almanas, that when you give that first dinar, it's not just almanas that I'm going to give the rest of the dinarim, that it's and therefore the Kiddushin is not chal right away. The Kiddushin is only chal when you actually give all of the money that you had initially promised. So Gemara is going to have two answers. Answer number one, Hacham Mayaskinan Da'amar B'mana Zu. Now the case where you can back out up until the last bit of money is given is where you said b'mana zu. When you say b'mana zu, so you're saying you're only going to be mukadeshes once you receive the entire mana. Then it's clear that it's not just a tanai that I have to pay you the rest. Frek the Gemara, no, because I mean the seifa b'mana zu, reisha b'mana stam. If you look at the seifa of that same brisa, where clearly it refers to a case of mana zu, that would imply that up until that point we were talking about where you didn't say mana zu, where you just said mana stam. Katani, what does it say in the Sefer? The Katani Sefer, because it says in the Sefer, Amar la eskachi li b'mana zu. If you say to the woman, I want you to be mukadesh to me with mana zu, v'nimtzis mana chas a dinar, and it turns out that you gave her a mana less a dinar, you gave her 99 cents on the dollar, you didn't give her exactly what you said. O dinar shel nechoshes, or it turns out that the dinar was out of copper, wasn't what it was supposed to be, ainu mukadeshes, the halacha is that the kiddushin does not work. Dinar ra harezim mukadeshes v'yachlif. But if it turned out to be a dinar ra, a bad dinar, which we'll explain soon, so then it is mukadeshes, and you switch it. But what do you see? You see that in the seifa we're talking about a case of manazu, which implies in the reisha we're talking about a case of manastam. If the reisha is talking about a case of manastam, why are you allowed to be chozer up until the last minute? Shouldn't we assume the rest of the money is just a tanai, but the kiddushin really happens right away? So says the Gemara, reisha v'seifa. Both the Reisha and the Sefer are talking about Manazu. Uprusha, Gam Mefarish, and the Sefer is simply explaining the Reisha. The Reisha says that one of them can go back up until the last dinar, Ketzad, Kigon Damulah, B'manazu. What's the case where one of them can backtrack? Where you say, B'manazu, V'achinam Misavri, Disal Kadaitach Reisha B'manastam, then you have to say that the Reisha is talking about Manazu. Because if the Reisha were talking about Manastam, Hashtu B'manastam lo v'kiddushi, B'manazu mi'bayi, if by Manastam it wouldn't be a valid kiddushin up until the last money is given. So by Manazu you need to tell me. You need to tell me that by Manazu it wouldn't be a valid kiddushin until the last bit of money is given. It should be obvious. Once you tell me that even if I just say Manastam, the kiddushin is not valid until every bit of that money is given to you. Of course, when you say manazu, the kiddushin is not going to be valid up until every last bit of that money is given to the woman. So it can't be that the reisha's manastam and the seifa's manazu, because then there's no need for the seifa once you have the reisha. So says Gemara, nah, that taina is not such a good taina. Mishum ha lo iria. Tana seifa legoli resha. Maybe the seifa has only come to reveal what the case of the resha is. Shalot toma resha b'manazu of manaslam of kedushin. Maybe the seifa is coming to show me how to translate the resha, that I might have thought that the resha is talking about manazu, but had it been manastam, it would be a good kiddushin. So tana seifa b'manazu mechal de resha b'manastam v'afilu achilu avikiddushin. That's why it comes to tell me that the seifa is talking about a case of manazu, the resha is talking about a case of manastam, and therefore the resha is coming to tell me that even though it's manastam, it's not a valid form of kiddushin. But anyway, that was all one answer to the question. How do we answer this brisa that seems to imply that the kiddushin is not chal until the last bit of money is given? That simply that brisa is talking about a case of manazu. But if you go over to a woman, you say, I'm going to give you mana, and you just say mana, you just say it's stam, and then you give her one dinar, she's mekudeshes as soon as you give her that first dinar. And then you just got to be mashlim, you got to pay the rest of it later on. Answer number two, Ravashi Yom Ramona V'holech Shaini, Didai Ta'akule. Ravashi says, no, the way to answer that brisa, it's not a manazu manastam issue. That brisa might also be talking about manastam. And the reason why the kiddushin is only chal when the last dinar is given is because you're making it clear that you're trying to give it all right now. You're mona v'holech, you're counting it out. It's not that you're just giving her one dinar now and saying, yeah, I'll pay you back later, I'll pay you the rest later. No, you're going one, two, three, you're paying it all out for her right now. So in that case, clearly she only intends to be Mekudeshes when all of the money is going to be paid. So once we're on the topic, what exactly is this case where you turned out that it was a Dinar Shal Nechoshes? If she knew it was a Dinar Shal Nechoshes all the time, well then she knew and she was Mekabel, so that's it. Tough luck, she got it. So the Kiddushin is Chal. So must be that it was given at night. Or it was stuck between other zuzim that were not made out of Nechoshes. So that's why, I mean, she was not aware that it was a Dinar Shal Nechoshes. That's why it ruins the whole Kiddushin. So a big discussion in the poskim is there a lechatchila dekedin that a person is supposed to dafka be mekadesh during the daytime so that the woman could see exactly what it's worth. Some explain that you put the veil, that the woman keeps the veil on her head during the Maisa Kiddushin so that she shouldn't see how much it's worth. That's her way of demonstrating that she doesn't care how much it's worth. That she's not being so makbid how much it's worth. That's assuming you have a thicker veil than different circles. In some circles they have very thick veils, other circles they don't have such thick veils. But anyway, hi dinar ra hechidami. What's the case of dinar ra? Idelo nafik. Hainu dinar shal nechoshes. If it's a dinar that's not used as currency, so that's the same as dinar shal nechoshes. Republican did nafik ali dead chak. No, it's used as currency, but no one likes to take it. It's like those dollar bill coins, right? No one likes to. You get it by the train station when you put the thing in the when you put a $20 bill in, and it's technically they're supposed to take it. It's legal tender, but no one really likes to take it. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar la iskachi li b'mana v'iniachla mashkon aleha einu mekudeshes. Let's say a guy says to a girl, you should be mekudeshes to me with the mana, and instead of giving her the mana, he gives her a mashkon in exchange. So that is not a valid form of kiddushin. Manam ein kan mashkon ein kan. Right? Rashi understands that it's mana ein kan hilkach mashkon ein kan. Since you didn't give the money, memela the mashkon is worthless also. Mashkon is only has value in place of money, but you never gave the money over here. Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman kitcha b'mashkon mekudeshes. But we learned that if you mekadesh a woman with a mashkon, it is a good form of kiddushin. So which is it? Is it good or is it no good? So hasab b'mashkon da acherim. Rav Yitzchak dam Rav Yitzchak minayin lebalchov shekona mashkon. Over there we're talking about that you had a mashkon that belonged to someone else, and you took that mashkon and gave it to her. And that's a valid form of kiddushin, because Rav Yitzchak taught us that a balchov is kone a mashkon. That a balchov, when I hold on to a mashkon because someone owes me money, the mashkon becomes mine. How do I know it becomes mine? Shenemar l'chati etzdaka. Because the pasuk says that when you give the mashkon back, let's say the person needs it to sleep at night, then it's their pajamas. So I give it back to them at night so they could sleep with it. That's considered a tzedaka for me, that I'm giving it back to them. But it may no kona tzedaka minayin. But if it's not mine, how could that be called the tzedaka? So mikan lebalchov shekona mashkon. So you see that it must be mine, otherwise it wouldn't be referred to as a tzedaka. Tosa says, what do you mean? Maybe it's tzedakah that you're giving it back to, meaning you have the right to hold on to it. Meaning it's called a tzedakah because even if it's not yours, but you have the right to hang on to it and you're giving it back to them at night to go and sleep on. So isn't that alone a tzedakah? So in the second answer, Tosa says, lo mikri tzedakah ala anosi mishalo, that tzedakah is only when you're giving something of yours. When you're giving something that belongs to someone else, even though by rights you don't have to give it to them, but if it really belongs to them, that by definition is not called tzedakah. First answer is a little more creative. Tosa says that when you give back the clothing that the person needs at night, uverachicha, they bless you, right? So, but if it's not yours, when they bless you, it's ribis dvarim. So they shouldn't be allowed to bless you. So some of the Achronim ask that can't be a hechrich, because ribis, I mean, you can't say, therefore, when the Torah says, ulchati etzdaka, it must be that you kona mashkon, because ribis dvarim may only be a dindarabanan. But okay, but that's a discussion for a different time. B'nei Rav Huna bar Ravin, zavina hi amsa b'priti, lava b'hadayu, usvei nascha alei. So they didn't have the money that they were supposed to pay, so they gave some silver pieces instead. L'sofa yakara amasa, and then the maidservant that they were buying became more expensive. Asul came to Rabbi Ami, so they came to Rabbi Ami. Amrulu priti en kan naska en kan. So he said, look, if they didn't pay up the money, I don't care that they gave something else in its place. They made it tonight that they were going to give the money, and then they just gave a mashkon instead. That doesn't count. That's no kinyan. Tan Rabbanan, skachulim mana and lathasav is rakasul yam ala or ala kol davar avi enim gadeshes. A guy goes over to a girl and says, please, harem gadeshes libi devazu, gives her the ring. She immediately takes and throws it into the fire, throws it into the ocean to show what she thinks of it. So in that case, enim gadeshes, meaning obviously she did not accept it. That's a way of a woman rejecting a Maisa Kedushin by throwing it out. So Hasha the Sinu Kameh Havu Kedushin, but does that imply that if she throws it back in his face, that is a good Kedushin? Only if she throws it somewhere it's going to get destroyed, it's not a good Kedushin? So Haka Amrele Shaki Lo Be'ina, isn't by throwing it back in his face, isn't she also saying, I don't want it, and therefore it should not be a good Kedushin? So Gemara says, yeah, of course. Lo Mi Baya Kamar. Lo Mi Baya Shad Tinu Kameh Dalavu Kedushin, Avos Akasa Liyam Alari, Mekivin Demechayev Be'i Kedushin Kadushin. I might have thought that if she throws it in his face, that's how you reject the Kiddushin. But by throwing it in the fire, she's got to pay him now. That's his money, right? So I might think that since she's generating a chiyuv to pay, so maybe it should be a good Kiddushin. Maybe the reason she's throwing it in the fire and she's throwing it out is she's really being mekabel the Kiddushin. It's a test. She's not a good judge of character, so she needs to play games to figure out his character. She wants to see how angry he's going to get, so she'll be able to tell if he's a Baal Kas or not. Maybe a lot of people would become a Baal Kas put in that situation, but she wants to test him. So Kamash Mulan, and therefore comes to teach us that no, it's actually a rejection of the Kedushin. Tanu Rabbanan, Skachli b'mana, if the guy says, I want you to be Kedushin to me with this mana, Tneim la'aba ula avicha, and then the woman says, why don't you give it to my father or give it to your father? Einu Mekedushin, so that's not a valid form of Kiddushin. Almanas sheyikablum limu kadeshes. But if she says, Almanas, that my father or your father will accept it on my behalf, then it is a valid form of Kiddushin. That's not a rejection of the Kiddushin. Tana Abba lo diacha koach de resha, and Tana Avicha lo diacha koach de seifa. The reason it says Abba, my father, is to let us know that even if she says give it to my father, that's not a valid form of Kiddushin. She's just joking around. She's saying, you know, you can go give it to my father. But I might have thought that since she's saying her father, it should be. So it comes to tell me that no, that even though she's talking about someone she's comfortable with, it's not a valid form of Kiddushin. And it says Avicha to tell me the second case, that in the case where she says Almanas that they accept it for me, even if it's his father that's accepting it on her behalf, it is good. And the same is true if it's nobody's father. Just give it to somebody. So then it wouldn't be a good Kiddushin, but if it's Almanas that somebody is mekabel it for me, it is a good Kiddushin. Utsricha. I need both cases. Had it only told me the case of Abba and Avicha, that in that case I would say that when she says that they're mekabel it for me, it would be a good Kiddushin, because she trusts them. Savra of the Lishlichu Sai. She'll assume that they'll be willing to do her shlichus. Ava ploni lo, but Stam, a stranger, would not be willing to do her shlichus, and therefore it should not be a good Kiddushin. Viashmin and Ploni, and had it only told me the case of Ploni, Hachlu de Chiamra Tneim Laploni, Loavi Kiddushi, Thel Mikravadaita, Lagabe Lemesva Lebe Matana. That, in that case, I would have thought that's where if she says give it to so and so, it's not a good Kiddushin, because why would she care about some random guy to give give him this matana. Aval abba v'avicha demikra daite legabayu. But his father, her father, who she feels some sort of relationship with, even if she says, just go give it to him, I might have thought, eim b'matani avasinei alayu. I might have thought she's giving it to them as a matana, tzricha, therefore I need to be told both cases. Okay.